Now, a surprise holiday gift for me and for you. I have to tell you, I'm very excited about this. Here's the story. About a month ago, Talk of the Nation asked me to host on Christmas Day, and the staff came up with an idea. They told me to give them a list of 10 people I most want to interview. And then they said they would book one of those people as a surprise guest for this segment of the show. So I gave them my list, they checked it twice, and now I understand someone from that list is on the line. Hello?
Ari, can I come out of the box? I've been crouched in a speaker all morning.
Who is this?
This is Mitch Hurwitz.
Mitch Hurwitz! Ah!
Now the story of a wealthy family who lost everything and the one son who had no choice but to keep them all together. It's Arrested Development.
Our producers craftily planted the music to Arrested Development there. The TV
show. No, that's
my
ringtone.
That's your ringtone.
Yeah, that comes with me.
Much like one of the characters in the show. Okay, so Mitch Hurwitz, creator of the Arrested Development TV show, and now the movie that's in production.
What have you heard?
I've heard that you're writing one. Is it true?
Yes. I mean, that's a far cry from production, but yeah.
Oh, I don't know the movie business. I use the term production for everything.
Oh, I'll take it. My longtime writing partner, Jim Vallely, and I are working on a story right now with Ron Howard and Brian Grazer, to imagine.
Ron Howard, who was very involved.
Some sort of Christmas miracle for you soon.
Yeah, Ron Howard was very involved with the show. He was the narrator, and he helped.
Very involved, and he played the role of Tobias. A lot of people don't realize.
Oh, of course.
No, that's not true, actually.
I thought I was totally off base, but since you told me it, I accepted
it
as true.
Yes.
So how's the script coming along?
It's coming along all right. You know, I mean, I have to say we've been basing a lot of, you know, we have a Buster Lucille II relationship. That's the Liza Minnelli
Lucille
character.
II, right, Liza Minnelli, yeah. Coming off of her run on Broadway.
We are basing a lot of that on the Ari Shapiro-Nina Totenberg dynamic. And I hope
are you
that's
really?
Not,
Listen, you're welcome to shadow us for as long as you'd like.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and much like Lucille too, Nina Totenberg has a fabulous fur coat.
Oh, she does.
Oh, you really? You need to come do some research.
She's a keeper.
Absolutely.
Really.
For listeners who might not be aware, I was once Nina Totenberg's intern, and she remains my mentor and good friend to this day.
Yes, I actually saw that on Wikipedia. I've done my research.
Well, thank you. Now, can you give us any insight into whether this movie is going to pick up where the TV show left off, or whether it'll be 10 years down the road, or a prequel,
you know,
what's going to happen?
We have so many ideas we're playing with, and like all these Arrested Development stories, for those of people who don't know the show, which is, I would think, most of your audience, I'm thinking probably like 90% of your audience.
You know, NPR listeners are a very sophisticated bunch. I'm betting there's a higher percentage of
Arrested Development
viewers.
They don't have TVs, I understand.
Some of them. Only the most loyal ones.
Yeah, they just listen to NPR, is what I've heard. But it's a very intertwined show. You know, the plots tend to intertwine, and usually just pieces of them alone don't make much much sense. But we do have some fun ideas, and we have talked about the idea of perhaps doing a film within a film of what happens to this family as Ron Howard and his cohorts start making a film about them.
Uh-huh.
Which would lead to, you know, all these kinds of tautologies, like, and Jason Bateman as Michael Bluth and Greg Kinnear as Jason Bateman. So we're playing with this idea.
It's very Being John Malkovich.
Yes, that's right. Very,
listen,
very Harold Pinter, hopefully.
Oh, sad.
Wait, talk about a Pinter story. President Bush reversing a pardon. That's
no, we're like, here to talk about you and Arrested Development. And on that point, I want to tell listeners that they, too, can talk to you. I don't mean to hog this entire segment. The number is 1-800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. The
that's
email,
my home number.
That's your home number. Perfect. That's the ringing we hear in the background.
Okay,
at NPR.org if you want to talk to Mitch Hurwitz about Arrested Development, the TV show.
Or to Ari Shapiro about his wonderful character on Entourage, which I think we've all just enjoyed so much.
You know, he's the number one reason that I'm not in the crossword puzzle as often as I might be.
That's right. Very good. I'll bet.
Okay, so most of your experience has been in TV. What's it like shifting gears to creating a movie?
Well, it is actually a very different process. I have to say television, the immediacy of television has always worked for a procrastinator such as myself. There's a deadline. We got to the point on Arrested where the trucks would be pulling up to shoot the morning scene, and we'd be finishing that scene. Finishing writing it. And even our diehard supportive cast would start saying things to me like, you know, it really is irresponsible the way you handle the show. So now, you know, I'll look way ahead.
So with the movie, I mean, when you're structuring a script and a story, the 21 or 27 or however many minutes it was of each Arrested Development episode were so knotted. When you've got 2 hours to work with, does it change that?
I think if they talk slower, I think we will actually, it'll give us some time to expand and to find, the stories were always so tied together in all the elements. There were many elements that got cut out of any given episode. Mm-hmm. And I really kind of labored to have every character have some dynamic with another character. So we're not that far into the process, but I imagine it'll just be a larger tapestry, hopefully.
Well, and tapestry suggests threads that connect and connect and connect. Are people going to have to, it may be too early to ask you this question, but are people going to have watched the series?
They haven't. So why would they start now? I guess would be my response.
You're not still bitter about this, are you?
Does it sound like I'm bitter?
It was such a good show. Listen,
I mean, I sew a tapestry, for God's sake.
I have to confess, I watched the tapestry on DVD. I'm one of the reasons the show didn't find a following in live television, and I regret that. I wish it had gone on for seasons and seasons.
Oh, that's very nice of you to say. Well, I have to say, we really, it was a real privilege to make the show. If I sound bitter, it's only... to get a laugh, but it really was a privilege to get to make that a very special show. And I really always felt like there were fans out there that were connecting with it and that would find it later. We kind of knew we were doing something that was perhaps a bit too dense to take in all at once. And that's typically not what people come to television for, myself included. You don't really go to watch TV to watch something that really calls upon you to pay attention. Although I did with Sopranos. I loved that.
Yeah.
But the rest of my TV watching is not that.
And when you had the opportunity to go to a network like HBO or Showtime, it ended up not happening.
It was a little more complicated because we had an opportunity to go to Showtime, but it was at a smaller budget, and it would have meant less cast, and there were just certain things in it that felt like, well, maybe the show should live on in another way.
Yeah,
either
like
by
a movie.
Coming back as a movie or a series of, one-a-day vitamins, something like that.
I'd take them.
I think it would work great as a series of vitamins.
You could have a different character's face on each one.
That's what I was thinking.
And the Lucille one would taste terrible. what echoes do you see this having in TV today? Because when I watch a show like 30 Rock, I definitely feel like I'm watching a relative of Arrested Development.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I'm a giant fan of that show. 30 Rock is the one... with the guy named Earl who makes amends for people's lives.
Close. Yeah, okay. It's the one with Sarah Palin.
Oh, Sarah Palin, right. Oh, she's very funny. I feel like we're part of the same wave, perhaps, as that. I don't know that it grew out of us necessarily, but it's the kind of humor that we really, there were a lot of us on that show that really enjoyed doing and that people seem to be finding a little bit now.
Okay, I'm going to share this conversation with one of our callers because it's Christmas, the season of giving. So Howard from Boise, Idaho.
Howard.
Hi. Happy holidays to you. Thanks for having me on the air. First off, I just wanted to say I've worshipped Arrested Development, and I'm a NPR listener as well, so I'm the one demographic here that you're looking for.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But my question is...
Did you get a TV and some sort of radio giveaway, or how did you come across?
What I wanted to ask is, in my observations, the only thing that's come as close to... You referenced the tapestry. Yeah. Of Arrested Development. The only thing that I've seen that layers in multiple jokes... so quickly and demands your attention is like The Simpsons or The Family Guy, these
right.
animated things that, allow for that, where, they can do something visual as well as the voiceovers. But Arrested Development's the only thing that's as sharp and as quick and demands that, and I've never seen any other live-action comedy that even comes close.
Oh,
and I wanted to ask you, what is it that allows... the writing of Arrested Development to do that, where I've only other seen cartoons do that.
Well, it's interesting you say that because it was one of the models in a way. I mean, that I used to
The Simpsons
to watch
or Family
that,
Guy?
Family Guy came on later for me, but certainly The Simpsons was, and The Family Guy is doing that now. But The Simpsons somehow created this reality where they didn't really break the wall, and they were very, very dense with their stuff, and every sign in the background was funny, and the addresses were funny, and the phone numbers were funny, and the couch was funny. I mean, they just looked for it everywhere. And I think we were the beneficiaries of the fact that the technology had changed to a certain extent. So when we did the show with HD cameras, HD video cameras, which there hadn't been a lot of comedies that had done that. A show like Malcolm in the Middle, they really did need those scripts a month in advance, and they would have cranes, and they would elaborately set up their shots. Whereas we would get to a location at 8 o'clock, and we'd be shooting at 8:15. And we used that savings in time to have multiple sets, to go a lot of places, to be really guerrilla about it, and just to take advantage of every single opportunity. I mean, I think comedy works best when you get rehearsal time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of, in a way, that's the big difference between film and television. In movies, you get to run a scene a lot of times. And if you look at like a TV movie, sometimes they're not as good because they only get two shots at it. So we would be able to do a scene 14 or 15 times. And everybody on the cast was funny. We had a hilarious writing staff. And we were just always looking for more and more comedy.
Thanks for the call, Howard.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Howard.
Mitch, it's funny you should say that because one of the things that I think made Arrested Development so appealing was that it seemed off the cuff and improvised. Even though you're saying you're doing scenes 14, 15 times.
Yeah, it's funny. It's everything grows out of something else. That was the result of Larry Sanders, which to me was a revelation. When I saw that show, it didn't look scripted.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And Curb, of course, came after that, you know. And that is improv, you know.
Yeah.
We weren't improvised because we were on broadcast television, and unlike Curb, where they can deliver a show 29 minutes long, we were doing 8 stories, and we had 20 minutes and 45 seconds. So it actually was very, very tightly scripted. But I think it was the benefit of being able to run it a few times and get comfortable with it, and just naturally funny people that would add things, little filigrees around the edges that would allow us to have that look and style.
We're talking with Mitch Hurwitz, the creator of Arrested Development, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go to another caller. This is Alyssa in San Francisco. Hi, Alyssa.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alyssa.
Alyssa, are you there? Nope. Okay. Well, let's take another call.
I have that effect on people.
I tend to as well. This is Molly from Portland, Oregon. Hi, Molly.
Hi,
Molly, don't hang up.
How are you?
Oh, Molly.
Molly. Yes,
Hi.
We're fine. Go ahead.
Hi. I had a question for Mitch.
Sure.
Is there anything that diehard Arrested Development supporters can do to make sure that that movie does go into production out of the writing?
If you have a plot line or a script...
Wait, is this something we should worry about? Is it not a done deal?
Well, actually, the next step, we do have a deal with Fox Searchlight to make a movie, but we don't... I'm waiting to get the cast on board before I start writing. It's an unusual project that way.
Well, how many of the cast members are on board?
I think most of them are.
Name names, Mitch.
Name names? We have John Beard and Carl Weathers have said yes.
And Liza Minnelli. Great.
No, Liza's on the fence.
Liza's on the fence.
It's very important that we have George Michael.
George Michael would be an important element of this because he's the heart of the show, and I know he's also
young man,
and he's going forward with his career, and I'm sure things are happening very fast for him, and he probably is not very eager to make a quick commitment to something.
Yeah, we should say for people who may not be diehard fans of the show that Michael Cera played Jason Bateman's son on the show, and Arrested Development was sort of his big...
Oh, that's Michael Cera. Okay, no, he's fine.
Oh, good.
Sorry. I was picturing the guy with the sort of somewhat balding head. And...
Oh, yeah. Would that be you? No.
Is that me?
No.
Let me get near a mirror.
Alyssa, thank you for the call. Molly. No, that was Molly.
Molly.
It was.
Thanks
for not hanging up, Molly.
We're going to go back to Alyssa, and
she's
hopefully
great.
She hasn't hung up this time. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi.
Hi, Alyssa.
Shoot.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we love the show, the whole family. We have the DVD, and we watch it and just howl.
Oh, that's great.
We watched it when it was on faithfully, and we listened to NPR, and it's so great.
That's so encouraging to hear. I mean, we did the show in such a vacuum without any kind of response from an audience, and I really can't tell you how gratifying it is for all of us, the writers and the cast and the directors, everybody, that people are saying things like that.
But there's still this diehard online following with quotes and quotes and quotes from the show people love to rehash.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, Alyssa, what's your question for Mitch?
So the question is, and we have been hearing about the movie and we're so excited, and that is, are you going to be able to get all the same actors? Because Jason Bateman has gotten pretty popular in movies and everything, but will everyone come back?
Yeah, I hope they will. I mean, it is a family reunion, so we got to have everybody there. At least just, they have to stop by during during dinner.
My family just said that you were just talking about that.
That's
and I
all right.
didn't hear it. I apologize.
Oh, no, not that. Mom!
I know, I've embarrassed you terribly.
Thanks
Mom,
for the call, Alyssa.
The
it's okay, we don't know your last name, so nobody knows it's
but
you.
But I agree with you. I think it's very important that we get them all, and it's because it's a labor of love. You know, it really isn't about making this giant hit movie. I hope Fox Searchlight isn't listening.
But, thanks, Alyssa.
But getting back
Thank
together.
You.
Thank you.
Mitch, are there models that you have of successful TV-to-movie translations?
In other words, did I see Sex and the City?
Only
about 100 times,
I could
times,
name
Ari.
A few of them, frankly.
Ari, you're such a Samantha.
I took the test, and actually I did not turn out as Samantha, but we can talk about that off the air.
No, not really. I have to say also there wasn't much of a model when I did the TV show. And I've said this before, but I sometimes like to point this out to people who are, you know, trying to be creative themselves. Creating the television show was immensely discouraging for me. Doing that pilot, I was in territory that I had never been in before. I was a sitcom writer. I'd come from The Golden Girls and other things like that. And I was really trying to do something of a new form. And I many times thought, this is ridiculous. I've got to, you know, give this up and become a Talk of the Nation host. But I said no.
We're glad you did. We're glad you didn't give it up. We've been talking to Mitch Hurwitz. He was the executive producer and writer of the acclaimed and extraordinary television series Arrested Development. Mitch, it's been such a pleasure.
You too, Ari. Thank you for talking to me.
Tomorrow it's Science Friday, and Neil Conan will be back on Monday. Merry Christmas. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Ari Shapiro.